Let's start with prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning, the opportunity to come together to worship you and discuss your law, and pray that you would guide us and you would help us to be true to you, to draw closer to you and our hearts and lives. And please help me to hear as you would have me to this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. My thoughts aren't all really focused exactly on one thing, so the title is not necessarily going to cover it super well, but we could say God's desires for us and our response to them. I want to start in Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So come get free stuff, necessities like food and drink. And verse 2, where do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Why are we so often spending our money on, and a little bit more there, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why do we so often spend our money and our work, our time, on things that don't last and give us really temporary satisfaction? There's so much of that, and it's easy to be in those shoes, but it'd be nice if there's a lot less of that. Next part of verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Never a better time to call on God than right now. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Bad people need to stop doing bad stuff and thinking the wrong thoughts that lead up to those things. It's so often thoughts that bring us into our actions. And God does have abundant pardon for anyone. So, and everyone here. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God's ways are much greater than ours. And he says in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Just as God uses the rain and snow for natural things that need to happen on the earth, when he speaks, his words don't fall for no reason. They're going to do something. He says, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 12. For ye shall go out with peace, with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God wants his servants to have that joy and peace that he offers. But I don't totally get verse 13. I didn't put a lot of study into that, but there's going to be a lot of rejection and resistance to those who are following God. And it's just going to be that way. I want to look at Matthew chapter 5, where the Beatitudes are. Starting in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Are we poor in spirit? Are we mourning? Are we meek? Are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Are we merciful? Are we pure in heart? Are we peacemakers? Are we persecuted for righteousness' sake? Are we reviled, persecuted, and falsely accused of all sorts of evil for the sake of Christ? We're told that there are blessings for people in each one of those categories. We're called to be, next verse, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden, to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're called to be salt, flavor for this world, and give them, show them the things of the Lord. If we're not living in the fruit of the Spirit and practicing the Ten Commandments and the things that God asks us to do, we're going to be pretty flavorless salt. And the world may look at us and say, why does he look scared or angry? And he says, I'm a Christian. Well, the good fruits in his life are not, probably not in his life, and it's kind of like black salt. I wouldn't shake black salt out of a salt shaker onto my food. Or a nightlight in a barrel. Doesn't really help much. We're called to be bright lights on a hill so that people can see us and glorify God. We're not supposed to ask for the glory either. God's the one that we're shining the light towards by speaking for him, not a spotlight above us. That's the way God desires it to be, and may he help us to do that. He's to be praised for the good works that we are making obvious to the world. And Hebrews 12:3, we are reminded of a wonderful example of selflessness. Selflessness, not selfishness. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Christ was a perfect example of enduring contradictions and enduring many other things that are difficult, and we're supposed to consider him rather than faint in our minds. think on him when we're discouraged. God is love, and he shows his love to his children by scourging them, which we sometimes need in order to grow closer to him. Do we have the right attitude to appreciate that? Whatever it is. Proverbs 17, verse 2 says, "A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren." None of us will be biological children of God, but if we're wise servants, we can be spiritual children of God. And it says the wise servant can get even a better place than a son if they're following their master. Can be put in the same position as a son. It's appropriate, very appropriate, for us to endure and even appreciate chastening. It'll bring us closer to God. Proverbs 15:20 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." Are we making our Father in heaven glad by being wise children? How can we be wise children? We must cast off sin, live with the fruit of the Spirit, and under God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, the Great Commission, and whatever he specifically calls us to. Put on spiritual armor that makes available if we're willing to receive it. And may God help us to be wise children. God bless.